Okay, let's just take a few minutes. Let yourself relax. Take some deep breaths. Just let the body and mind have a few minutes to themselves. All experience, consciousness is the invariable. As you listen to the sounds outside, let's call the sounds sound consciousness. The changing sounds are the variable. The consciousness is invariable. But there would be no sounds apart from consciousness. So sound consciousness. There's hearing consciousness. The ears hearing consciousness. Consciousness remains invariable. Hearing consciousness, sound consciousness. Thought consciousness. There is no thought apart from consciousness. Consciousness is the very self of the thought. And the thought is variable, though, changing. Consciousness is invariable. subject to consciousness. Object consciousness. Consciousness is invariable. Brahman is the invariable. That which is never not there. That which is the subject. That which is the object. The invariable. Consciousness, which is invariable, subject consciousness, object consciousness. The invariable in all experience. The invariable consciousness of all experience. The invariable being of all experience. The self-evident consciousness of all experience. Om Padram Karne Vishtumiyama Devaha. Om Padram Karne Vishtumiyama Devaha. Padram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha. Padram Pashe Makshabhir Yajatraha. Stirairangai Istushtuvagum Sastanubihi. Stirairangai Istushtuvagum Sastanubihi. Yashema Devahitam Yadayuhu. Yashema Devahitam Yadayuhu. Swastina Indra Vrittashravaha. Swastina Indra Vrittashravaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha. Swastina Starksho Arishtanemihi. Swastina Starksho Arishtanemihi. Swastino Brahaspatir Tathatu. Swastino Brahaspatir Tathatu. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. We're on verse 7. Yathor nana bisrijate grinnate cha. Yathor nana bisrijate grinnate cha. Yatha prativyam ushadayasam pavanti. Yatha prativyam ushadayasam pavanti. Yatha sita purushat keshalomani. Yatha sita purushat keshalomani. Tatakshara sambhavati havishwam. Tatakshara sambhavati havishwam. Okay, this is a famous verse on the nature of Ishwara, the creation, how the creation comes from Brahman. It gives three examples. It's very, very beautiful. I'll try to get through the translation first, and then we'll, you might make it through. We'll see. Yatha, just as, let me do that, Sandy. Yatha, urnanabhihi, srijate, grinnate, cha. Yatha, prithivyam, oshadayaha, sambhavanti. Yatha, sata, purushat, yatha sataha purushat, kesha lomani, okay. Tatha aksharat, sambhavati iha vishwam. Okay. That's all right. Are you sure?
Yeah, no, it's yours. So. Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I don't
have another one. I forgot my phone. Okay.
Yatha, just as, urnanabhihi is a spider, okay? Just as the urnanabhihi, the spider, srijate, creates, puts forth, creates, srijate, and grinnate, brings back, grasps, brings back to itself its threads, right? The threads are not in there, that's understood from the Bhasha. So, just as a spider creates and brings back its tantu, its threads, yatha prithivyam oshadayaha sambhavanti, just as on the earth, prithivi, the earth, just as in the earth, on the earth, the plants grow, right? The herbs, the plants, the trees and the corn and the grass. Just how the plants grow in the earth, prithivyam oshadayaha sambhavanti, they're produced or born. Yatha, just as sataha purushat, from a person who is sataha existing, means a living person. Sataha purushat, from a living being, Kesha Lomani. Kesha are the hairs that grow on your head. Loma, Lomani are the hairs that come off of the body, like the hairs in your arms, or just facial hair. The hair on the body is Loma. So just as the hairs, head hair and body hair, comes from a living person. Tapa, like that. Aksharat, from the Akshara. Akshara is a word from Brahman that we used that came in an earlier verse. That which is immutable, changeless. The Akshara is that which doesn't modify in any way. It's Akshara, immutable. That doesn't decay or decline in any way. So from the Akshara, word for Brahman, from the Brahman, Sambhavati Iha Vishwam. This Vishwa, Vishwam here, this universe here, Iha means here, this universe here that we're experiencing, this universe comes from that Akshara, right? So it says literally, like that, Akshara, from the Akshara, from Brahman, Sambhavati Vishwam, the Vishwam is born. The universe is born. What Vishwam? This Vishwam. Here. Iha means here. This that we experience here. So, going back, you have to always remember here the question that Shaunaka asked to Angiras. Right? Shaunaka asks, he goes, he says, Kasmin nu bhagavo vignate sarvamidam vignatam bhavati. Hey, Bhagavan. Just a polite address to Angiras. Okay. What is it when that one thing is known? All of this becomes known. Sarvamidam vignatam bhavati. When that thing is known, all of this is known. What is that? What is that one thing? And you could have known to ask a question like that, because that's a question that comes in the Upanishads. It is the question that the Upanishads are about. So just from education, you know, being familiar with the Sampradaya, being familiar with the Vedas, you could have a question like that. Or you could also have figured out that question, is there such a thing? Like, we can say that for all of the gold ornaments that we see, there's one gold that's the stuff of them all. You know, all the clay pots, there's one clay that is the stuff of them all. Like that, what one thing is there? Is there such a thing, that one thing which is the being of them all? So if he's been brought up in the Vedic, Vedic culture, then that would be a question that he would bring to his teacher. What is that one thing? Knowing which all things are known. And so that's the question which you recall, which Angiras is answering. And after telling that there are two knowledges, one that deals the apara vidya, that deals with this whole creation, everything that exists within duality is apara vidya. Even the, all of the Vedas are apara vidya, right? All of the, even the reading of the Upanishads is apara vidya. Para vidya is the actual cognition, the actual recognition, aham brahmasmi, the actual recognition that I am Brahman. That's not a book-learned thought that you are Brahman, or the Veda says you are Brahman. That's aparavidya, the aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman, that self-recognition through cognition, right, through the removal of ignorance, that's the paravidya. And so, having said that, defined the paravidya, then he went to the verse that we worked on the last two classes, that paravidya, right, of the aksharam brahma, that paravidya, that is the one, that one that is adrashyam, not an object, not something that I can objectify through my sense perception. It's not something that I can grasp, nor is it the eyes or the ears or the sense organs, nor is it organs of action. So it's neither the object nor the subject. It's neither the seer nor the seen. It's neither the grasper or the grasped, the walker or the walking, or the destination. Right? So it's not the object that I go to, nor is it the means of getting there. It's not the object that I grasp, nor is it the one that grasps. So both the subject-object here are being negated. But then it says, and that one that is none of these things, that one is nityam, means that one is, and is free from time, right? And that one is vibhum. This is what we spent, these two words, vibhum, and the Buddha Yoni, we spent the whole last class on it. Vibhum means that which is all pervasive as the material cause. It's what we call upadana karana, the actual material cause. When you say something is vibhum, it is sarvagatam, it is all pervasive. We often, when we think of Brahman as all pervasive, our mind goes to all pervasive like space. Right? Space is all pervasive. The creation, right? Space goes through this room, out into the street, in, you know, all pervades Berkeley, the whole earth is in space. The space is like that, all pervasive throughout the creation. But that type of all pervasive is different than vibhum. The vibhum, that which itself has become many. That sarvagatam, that all pervasiveness, is the all-pervasiveness of the upadana karanam, the material cause. So in that way, Brahman is all-pervasive as the very material cause from which all things have come. So remember the question, what is that? Knowing which all things are known. Well, if there is, if something is vibhum, if Brahman is vibhum, then it is the material cause of all things, like clay is the material cause of the pot. Clay is vibhum to the pot. Right? Water, as the very substance of the ocean, water is vibhum. Right? It's that which has become many and is sarvagatam. It's all water, as the material cause, as the upadana karanam, is all pervasive. Do you get the difference? Like all pervasive through space, space is not water, space is not air. But vibhum and sarvagatam means the material cause is all pervasive in a different way. Because if you look at the material cause as all pervasive, there isn't anything there but that material cause. Do you get it? The pot, the clay is all pervasive to the pot. That's different than saying the space is all pervasive and goes through the pot. Space is a good drishtanta, that's a good illustration. But here, when we use sarvagatam all pervasive, it's different. It's that there is nothing else. Clay is all pervasive to the pot because it's the material cause of the pot, and in fact, there's nothing there but clay. So, as the upadana karanam, if you say something is sarvagatam, that's different than saying something is more subtle and pervades through. So, here, Brahman is said, it is vibhum. It's what we call the upadana karanam, but also bhuta yonim, the womb from which all has come. And so there, what is being said is not only is the material cause, it's the, what we call upadana karanam is material cause. It's the nimitta karanam, also the efficient cause. So Brahman is intelligence, it's pure consciousness. So Brahman, that which is sarvagatam, all-pervasive as the upadana karanam, is also the efficient cause, the nimitta karanam, like the intelligent principle, the womb from which all of these things are coming. In other words, the one from whom, let's put it like this, the bhuta yonim, yonim really means womb, but the idea is the one from which all this has come, the conscious being from which all of this has come. Example, two examples that Swamiji in his commentary uses, and this we're going to use three examples here. The first example is the spider, and then later on he uses the dream. But so let's just go through these examples to look at how Brahman is both the nimitta and upadana karanam. I'm introducing these words quite a bit now because these words are words that you will hear all the time. Say if you are studying with Swamiji or you go to India or you listen to one of his classes, nimitta and upadana karanam, when we're talking about Brahman, we're talking about Ishvara, these words are there all the time. So upadana karanam means the material cause. Clay is upadana karanam to the pot. Right? Gold is the upadana karanam of the chain. Material cause. Usually something is not the both the material cause and the efficient cause. Like say for instance when you've got the clay pot, the clay is the upadana karanam. It's the material cause. It's not the efficient cause. You know, you need a pot maker, you know, to make the pot. And you may even need extraneous aids like the wheel, potter's wheel. You need the pot, you need the potter and the potter's wheel as the efficient cause to act upon the clay to make the pot, right? So the nimitta karana, the efficient cause, and the upadana karana, the material cause, are separate. You know, here Brahman is said to be the Shruti. The Shruti says or reveals Brahman as both the upadana karana, the material cause, the clay of the pot, but also the efficient cause. The efficient cause, the one, the intelligent one who makes the creation, as though. Okay? So now, here's some examples for that. He says, yata, just as the urananabhihi, the spider, okay? The spider creates the tantu, it's called the thread, right? The projects, it creates the spread, the thread out of its own body, right? And then withdraws the thread from its own body. But it creates the thread, and then the thread that it creates is separate. It can make a web out of the thread, and then it can walk around on the thread. It can leave what it's created. Okay, so that's a limitation to the example. But with the example, there's three examples, so that there won't, so that all those limitations are covered. So the for the Urnanabhihi, the creation of the thread comes from the spider, right? Comes out of the spider, is there, and then is taken back into the spider. Right? So the spider, out of itself, creates the thread, makes the web, and then pulls the thread back into itself. Like that, Brahman, this creation, this Vishwam, right, comes from Brahman, projected from Brahman, is sustained by Brahman, and then is pulled back into Brahman. Okay? Creation is viewed from the Shastra. The creation is viewed as cyclical, right? It comes from me, comes from Brahman, it comes from the self. The entire creation is projected from the self, is sustained by the self, and resolves into the self. So like a spider creates a web, creates this atantu out of its own body, and pulls it back into its own body, right? Like that, this creation comes from Brahman and is pulled back into Brahman, okay? It's the first example. Of course, then, there's a problem. This example, this is a little different. Because the spider, it's an interesting example. It's a good, nice example. It gives you the idea that something that is an efficient cause, the spider, the intelligent conscious principle, creates something out of itself, right? And then pulls that back into itself. So out of its own body, right, it creates something not dependent on anything else. It doesn't require a potter's wheel, you know. It doesn't require any instrumentation. It doesn't require any type of aids at all apart from itself, right? So the spider, with its whatever the spider is, has all that it needs in and of itself to create the thread. It creates the thread, pulls the thread back. But the thread that it creates can be detached from the spider. Right? Because the spider can lead the thread. So there can be a separation between spider and thread.
Does right? The spider pull the thread back in?
Yeah, it can eat the thread up. Like, have you ever seen these spiders that, I see these in India quite a bit. The spider comes down the web, okay? Comes down on the thread. You watch it coming down from the ceiling. And then it'll go back up. Mm-hmm. How does it go back up? Mm. It's eating the thread, right? It pulls the thread back into itself. And it comes down and up like that. So anyway, that's the example.
I didn't know.
Okay. I mean, the Upanishads use practical examples from their own experience. Yes, it's a nice example. But it brings a second example to show a little, to tweak it a little bit. So it says, just as in the earth, the prithvi on the earth, all of the plants grow, right? So the plant, the earth is inert in a sense. The living plants come from the earth and are sustained by the earth. And the substrate earth is still very much there. The plants are nothing but the earth. Right? They come from the earth. They're not apart from the earth. They grow from the earth. They're sustained by the earth. And the earth is the very substrate basis of the plants. Right? And so the plants come and go out of the earth. It's a little bit different image than the string, the tantu, the thread coming and going from the spider. Because here the earth is stable, right? And the plants are rising from the earth and then settling down into them and being destroyed back into the earth. The life comes from the earth and goes back into the earth. The earth remains steady. And the very material cause of the plants. Did I see that? Okay, then it goes, well, there's another problem though. Problem is this. This earth, this Vishwa that we experience, right? Vishwa means anything that we ever can have a cognition of. The earth, everything in the earth, by earth now I mean everything within the creation, the whole creation, can have a cognition of it, right? Anything that can be cognized makes it the Vishwa. So the whole jagat, the whole universe is called Vishwa because it can be objectified. So anything objectifiable, that is the Vishwa. So this entire creation, if you say that Brahman is the material cause, the upadana karanam of the entire creation, then don't you think that the entire creation should be like Brahman? What I mean is like this. If clay is the material cause of the pot, right? Then the clay is there in the pot. If gold is the material cause of the chain, then gold is there in the chain. The material cause is found in the effect, right? Another example, say one that's used in the Bhasha. If you have like a yellow thread, that yellow thread will make yellow cloth, not blue cloth. Okay. And so here you have Brahman, which is Satyam Jnanam Anuttam, pure being, which is consciousness, which is limitless. And then you have a creation, which is time-bound and so many things that are inert. Right? How could that which is time-bound and inert and so different from Brahman come from Brahman, have Brahman as its material cause? And so they use this example. Yatha sattaha purushat. Just like from a living being, a human being, purusha means a person, who is sattaha, existing, so not a dead person, a living person, so a living conscious person, hair comes. And hair, kesha, hair comes, and body hair comes. Also, you can include nails. These things are not conscious, right? That's why you can cut your hair, and you can cut your nails, and they don't scream out. You don't need an anesthetic, you know? So I'm just a joke, you know? If these were conscious, you would have hair surgery. You would go to the barber, you know, to the hairstylist to have hair surgery. or nail surgery. It's not true. It's because these things are insentient. So that which is insentient can come from that which is sentient. So that is just a little logical argument to say, who says that that which is the very material cause of something else, you know, needs to be exactly the same? There's no such rule, is the idea. There's no such rule. Who says that the efficient cause cannot be the material cause? Look at the spider. There's no such rule. You know, you make up these rules, but there are situations just in life that shows that that's not the case. You know, who says that, like for the earth, which is as though insentient, sentiency comes. So who makes up these type of rules? There are no such rules. So what does the Shastra say? The Shastra says that from this Brahman, which is Sat-Chit-Ananda, Sat-Chit-Ananda-Anantam, this entire creation comes. So this entire creation is the very substance of this creation. But now, this is the thing. It says that the self, Brahman, is the upadana karanam, the very material, the efficient and the material cause of this whole creation. And at the same time, it says that material efficient cause is something that cannot be objectified, right? Cannot be seen, it cannot be touched, right? It's not an object of perception, it's not an object that you can grasp. It doesn't have eyes, doesn't have ears, it doesn't have hands, it doesn't have feet. It's free from time, it's free from change. It's the very substance of all that is, and it's the substance of its being. Not only is it the material cause, the boom of all that is, it's all pervasive to all that is. This is this Brahman. And it is this Brahman, you know, which is the Bhuta Yoni, the efficient cause, that is responsible for all of this. Okay? How can such a self, which is Nityam, you know, something which is Nityam means free from change, because free from time, you know, and that is all pervasive. So it's the material cause which is all pervasive, and as soon as you say that, it's like the clay pot. Does everybody see that? If it's a material cause and it's all pervasive, then it's like clay pot or ocean wave. How can this, though, which is changeless, become this creation? Because this creation is changing. How can it become at all? Right? How can it become at all? Because it itself doesn't become. Right? It itself is changeless, so it doesn't go through a process of becoming. And so now, that's why, instead of the Shastra saying it's just the material efficient cause, it's the, which we call material efficient cause, would be nimitta upadana karanam, efficient nimitta karanam. Upadana karanam, the material cause. It says, Brahman is the nimitta upadana karanam. It can't stop there. Right? Because Brahman can't go through any change. And so it says it's the vivarta upadana karanam. Vivarta is the key word to understanding the nature of Brahman, or the nature of this creation. The vivarta upadana karanam means the material cause that vivarta undergoes no change to become the effect. Okay? It undergoes no change to become the effect. So what is an example of that? Where's an example of vivarta upadana karanam? And that's where the dream illustration and the rope snake illustration becomes so important to being able to really understand the relationship of Brahman as the upadana karanam, as the material cause and the efficient cause to this creation. Even understanding as a drishtanta, as an illustration, your mind, the relationship of your mind to yourself, shows this in a limited way, this vivarta upadana karanam, the nimitta karanam, the upadana karanam, in this vivarta nature. Let me give you an example of it. You're a perfect example of your relationship with your mind of nimitta and upadana karanam. Okay? So let me just do this. Say if I ask you now to have a thought of a tree. Okay? You have a thought of a tree. Okay? Now, this vritti, this thought modification of the tree, comes from you, right? Is sustained by you. The whole thing is in consciousness. It comes from consciousness. It's sustained by consciousness. And when you stop having the thought, it goes back into consciousness. Right? That's number one. Now let's look at it this way. The thought comes, tree thought. The thought comes from you. The thought is here now. Okay? The thought exists. Right? The tree exists. The tree thought exists. Do you see that? Before the thought came, just you exist. Right? In reference to the thought, the existence consciousness that you experience is just you. Right? Everybody with me? It's your being, your consciousness. Now the tree thought comes, because I've asked you to have one, so you say, okay, I'll have one. Okay. Okay, so now the tree thought comes. Now the existence consciousness, which is just you, right, is enjoyed by the tree. And say it's a more complicated thought. It's the thought of a tree in a meadow with clouds and birds chirping. Now that thought comes from you. It enjoys the existence and consciousness of you, right? As long as it is there. So we can say now, there is bird consciousness, tree consciousness, meadow consciousness, you know, clouds consciousness, vritti thought consciousness. But there's thought consciousness and there's consciousness of every object in the thought. Tree consciousness, you know, bird consciousness, meadow consciousness, bird existence, tree existence, clouds existence, meadow existence. I resolve the thought. Now what is there? Just existence consciousness. I give the thought again. Another tree. Ask for another tree and another meadow. Now every part of that thought has consciousness existence. And then I can say the tree is, right? The meadow is, the grass is, the bird is, the clouds are, and all of them are known. Now I withdraw that again. What has happened to the existence in any of those cases or the consciousness? Does the consciousness become the tree? No. Does the tree enjoy the consciousness? Yeah. That's why I say tree consciousness. What does it mean to say tree consciousness? It means the tree is known. There is the tree. That the consciousness now is in the form of the tree, from the standpoint of the tree. So we have tree consciousness there. Has consciousness become the tree? When the tree goes, is something we take, got rid of a little bit of consciousness? No. The consciousness remains the very substance, the very being, the very matter, the very thing that is. It doesn't matter now. In terms of subject-object, it makes no difference. Let's make the vritti a little bit more complex. We have a vritti of a meadow with a tree. Okay? And there's birds in the meadow, and now you, as a jiva, as an individual, are in the meadow. And you are looking at the tree. Okay? So now in your thought, that has come from you, you have a tree in a meadow, and you are in there looking at the tree. And now we have the individual consciousness with seer consciousness of the seen tree consciousness. So we've got tree consciousness, seen, seer consciousness, the individual looking at the tree, body consciousness, tree consciousness, meadow consciousness, a clouds consciousness, birds consciousness. You know? So now the subject and the object, the seer and the seen, the hearer. Now you're in there. You're in there. You're hearing the birds chirp. Hearer consciousness, chirping consciousness. Okay. Now this seen, this vritti, is resolved. What is left? Me consciousness. The consciousness which is the self, the consciousness, the being, which is the consciousness and being that everything is enjoying when it is there. Right? When the thought is there, the consciousness and being that every part of that thought enjoys, and we can call it tree consciousness, individual consciousness, etc., bird consciousness, the thought, the consciousness that each one of those things is enjoying, is the one consciousness, which is the one from which all of this has come. And so that one consciousness is the clay of the pot. This one consciousness is the consciousness which, when I say painting consciousness, space consciousness, wall consciousness, you know, table consciousness, body consciousness, sense organs consciousness, there is nothing here that is away from consciousness. Consciousness is the very being of all of this, but should this go away, then what is left? The consciousness, right? The consciousness which is the invariable. Like it, you can see it, you can experience it so, so clearly if you just work with your thought a little bit. The consciousness is invariable. It doesn't become anything. It's just the very being of everything that is. And how does everything that is, all this jagat, this Vishwam, enjoy it? Well, it enjoys it as it is, 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 it is known, it is known, it is known, it is known. Get rid of all of that, and what is left? It is known, just the consciousness. There is nothing here but consciousness. Now, how are you going to experience that consciousness? You can't experience it more than it is. You can't have an experience of consciousness away from the self-evident being that is already your own being. I know you. That's Brahman. Right? I'm aware of you. I see you. The invariable consciousness that is there, that is Brahman. So try to have an experience of that, that you already are that. You can't have any more self-experience than the self-evident reality of being that is already the very clay of the pot. It's the very thing that is here. It is the only thing that is here. Yeah. And so the vision of the Shruti of the Upanishads is that Ishwar, Brahman, is the Upadana Karanam of this creation and is the Nimitta Karanam of this creation. Yeah. Means the efficient and the material cause that goes through no modification, no change whatsoever, to become this creation, because already all pervasive. There's no place for it to go. If something is the material cause, you know, the vibhum, and all pervasive, the all pervasive material cause, there is no little hole somewhere for it to go to. Where is it going to go? It's already there. There is nothing outside of it. So it already is all pervasive, and it is not something subject to change, because nityam, and not objectifiable. So it's free from time, free from change. And so that which is free from time and free from change can't become anything, and yet it is the efficient cause of this creation. What does that mean? That this infinite creation is like an infinite mind. When you look at your mind, you are Ishwar. Just take the consciousness, the satchitananda of yourself, the conscious being that you are, plus your mind. That's Ishwara. That's your little version of Ishwara. Forget about the physical body and Ishwara as the manifest creation, and just look at consciousness plus your mind, the vritti. Right? You are the nimitta upadana karanam, the vivarta upadana karanam, the material cause that doesn't go through any modification to become the world of that vritti. And you are the efficient cause. Another example I use is like the dancer. You know, the dancer is like the efficient cause and the material cause, because he uses her own body. But if you use your dream or your mind, that's the best example to understand Ishwara. You know, where the one conscious being, yeah, with what we call Maya, right, The Maya doesn't come exactly in this verse, but it needs to come and it will come. With this capacity, Maya, right, which is like an infinite mind, this Maya becomes the entire creation, and just like your mind, there it has no separate being, nothing apart in any way from yourself. This entire infinite creation that we call Ishvara, right, is just simply the self, right? It's the infinite expression of the self that has no being apart from the self. It is nothing but consciousness. So there's not when we start teaching this, we go through what we call a drisha viveka, see or seeing differentiation, so that I can start to recognize just the consciousness, the subject that cannot be objectified, so I can get a handle just on myself. But when I start to recognize, okay, this subject that cannot be objectified as an object is the object. There's no subject-object separation at all. If you have a vritti, you've got a tree and a vritti and a person looking at the tree. You've got a vritti and you're in there looking at the tree. The tree and the person looking at the tree are both satchit. They have no being, no substance, nothing apart from consciousness. The seer and the seen are the same consciousness. Right? There's not a seer consciousness and a seen consciousness. The seer and the seen, the you, the little person in the thought, and the tree that they're looking at, and the bird that they're hearing, all of it are nothing but consciousness. And yet, they're not consciousness either, in the sense that consciousness doesn't become the bird and the tree and the thought, but the thought has no being, no substance at all, apart from the consciousness. So it's just like saying, well, the pot's not the clay, but then the pot's only the clay. Right? But you can't say that the clay is the pot. Right? The clay, because if the pot breaks, the clay is still there. Right? But there's nothing there but clay. So like that here in this world, there is nothing here but consciousness. So then we ask, well, if that's so, how do I recognize that? Well, the fact is you are that. You are that. So the recognition comes in differentiating that invariable, the invariable between me and you, right? Between seer and seen, between subject and object, the conscious being that does not go through any modification and is not away from any of these experiences that I have. Now, this is true even in terms of any type of mental experiences, emotional experiences, pleasure and pain, sorrow and joy and hatred and anger and compassion, all the emotions that we have. The invariable is just that, invariable. It's the very being, the very stuff of all of those. And so it's simply, this is not a matter for a new experience. It's for recognizing the invariable of myself, you know, and that self is self-evident. Everything else that I experience in this creation is not self-evident. It shines after me. Right? Like I need my eyes to see that. Pain. See that? I need my eyes to see that. That pain is not self-evident, right? It shines after me, right? But what do I shine after? What does consciousness shine after? There's no other knower behind the consciousness. That's what we mean by it's self-evident. Everything shines after it, right? I need my eyes to see the painting. I need my mind to see my eyes, to be aware of my eyes. Right? And then the mind itself needs to be illumined by the self. Right? It needs to be shined with the light of the self. Now, what lights up the mind? The light of the self. What lights up the light of the self? What lights up consciousness? Consciousness. That's what we mean by self-evident. And so that self-evident consciousness is the invariable in all experience, whether it be the subject, whether you're being to subject consciousness or object consciousness. I am that consciousness that is not an object. It's adrisham. It can't be objectified. How could it be objectified then? I'm the person in the thought looking at the tree. I'm the very, very substance which is the light of all experience that I have, the invariable light, the invariable being of all experience that I have. And so the Shruti reveals that it is this conscious being, it is this conscious being that without undergoing any change of its own, cyclically becomes this creation. Mm. You know, Purnamada, you know, the prayer that we chant every time. That is infinite, this is infinite. That Brahman is infinite, this is infinite. From that infinite comes. And this infinite then goes back to that infinite. Purnamidah, Purnamidam. Purnat, Purnamidachate. Purnasya, Purnamadaya. Purnameva, Purnashate. So it's beautiful. But now the thing is, the important thing to understand here is the next question. How do I experience that? It's not about that. It's not an experience to be had other than the experience that is here. You are that. It's a recognition. You are that. It's not you're going to become that. It's not you're going to have an experience of that. You are that. So you have to recognize yourself, the truth of yourself as being the self of the whole. The truth of yourself, the conscious self-evident being that you are, is the self of the whole. That's the recognition. The experience is already here, the self-evident experience, the invariable conscious being that you are. That experience needs to be recognized as I am the whole. So, let's stop there. Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.